Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford joined tonight by Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. We will have Rich Mitro joining us during the show tonight. He's one of the two assistant coaches with his team now, and Chris Sable is with us. And Chris is our sponsor. He's the guy who runs the Antlers, and we really appreciate his support of this program.
We're getting a lot of feedback here.
Big time feedback here. But Chris, what do you got going this week that you'd like to talk about on behalf of the Antlers?
Well, just like to thank the Blue Liners and Laker hockey in general. Looking forward to a good season. We always start off with our regular fish fry. This week it changes every week, and this week we have a lake trout, and we have prime rib on Saturday night. And then I'd like to send out a little pitch for Sioux Hockey Association. It's not too late for the Learn to Skate program. Anybody can sign up all winter long. Anybody, young kids that want to learn how to skate and play hockey from ages 4 to 8 in that neighborhood. Any kids can skate and start any time this season. There's no registration cutoff for any of that. You can just go to our Sioux Michigan Hockey Association website.
Good. So if anybody's interested or has a youngster that wants to play hockey or give it a try, you can still do that. It's not too late. And Chris, you were telling me when we came on tonight too, you've got the Rotary here now at noon on Monday's a pretty busy day for you here at the Antlers.
It is, actually. We have a group of bridge girls that play in the afternoon. The noon Rotary, and then the Laker Hockey Show as well.
Yeah, it's a good day for the Antlers, and we really appreciate your support of this program and the Laker Hockey program in general. And thanks for joining us here tonight. We'll have you on throughout the season.
Well, thanks again to the Blue Liners and everybody that comes for Laker Hockey.
All right, Chris Sable joining us here, the proprietor here at the Antlers, and head coach Damon Whitten's with us. Kind of a tough weekend and yet a great learning weekend, I think. We talked several times about that, and I'll get into some details on the learning end of it here in a minute. But anytime you lose, it's no fun, and we get beat a couple of times at Robert Morris University, and it's still a good experience for these kids.
Well, I mean, you hit it for sure. I mean, winning's fun. It's fun to win, and kids enjoy it, and everybody enjoys it, but you got to hate to lose, and we've got to learn a little bit more along that way. Our kids have to hate to lose, and that's got to reflect in the way we play, how hard we compete, over 60 minutes, one-on-one battles, 50-50 puck battles. So to me, hating to lose is an important part, and we've got to take some steps that way. But, you know, a little piece of your heart's torn out back there in Pennsylvania because losses just don't sit well.
Yeah, 3-1 on Friday night, 3-0 on Saturday. You can't win very many hockey games if you score one goal on a weekend. It's going to be awfully tough. Offensive production is really something you've got to work on.
I think we'll have a team this year that we're not going to be able to outscore our mistakes. And so we've talked a lot about just being rock solid. And we're still taking some steps in our coverage and our defensive zone assignments. Because of those challenges, you know, we have to be rock solid. We can't give up much. Obviously you mentioned Friday. We gave up the goal there. Gordy will want that one back from the red line. It's a 1-0 game at that point. We get a goal late at the end of the first period to get the momentum back. But, again, small mistakes, things like that, it's going to be a battle for us early on until we establish some scoring and some offensive identity for our program.
Yeah, I thought both the games, the first period was very good for Lake Superior. You outplayed them both nights in the first period. You outshot them both nights in the first period. You had the quality chances. The puck just doesn't seem to want to go in the net, and that's not brand new to Laker fans. This is a problem this team's had for a number of years now. I think we averaged 2.6 goals a game last season and finished ninth in this league. So, it's a little over one right now, but we're only 4 games into the season, too. But I thought you played really well in spots all weekend long, but especially the first period both nights.
Well, yeah, and I think all Friday. You know, we watched the game back, obviously, as a staff, and we look at quality chances for and against, and for that game Friday night, you know, we out quality chance them on the night. Most nights you win the special teams battle like we did and out quality chance your opponent. You should get the win more nights than not, but it didn't go that way Friday night. You mentioned a couple posts there. We had a great zone entry in the second period where Perfetto made a great pass over to Patterson. Goalie made a nice save. Perfetto had a great chance in the rebound and a sprawled goalie just somehow got a piece of it. And that's kind of our puck luck right now. And But, you know, I think we're going to be challenged offensively this year. And then, again, that's why we can't give anything. We've got to be rock solid and tight defensively.
Well, you've been good for the most part in your zone. The defensive work's been pretty good. The when they do make a mistake, and freshmen are going to make mistakes, you had five freshman D-men on Friday night, four freshmen on defense on Saturday night. They're going to make errors because this is their first crack at the Division I level. But I thought Dayfield played real well for you in goal, other than the long shot you just mentioned on Friday night. But he made a lot of saves. His save percentage is better than 90 right now, and that's pretty good for a freshman.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you mentioned Friday night again, going back to that first goal. It was a non-dangerous situation. We had full control behind our net. One of our freshman defensemen got rushed a little bit, didn't use his net well, turned it over. No chance for Gordy. Then the second goal, from the red line, you know, I think you can look real scared at that point, and we're real concerned about Gordy, how he'd respond to that. But he shut the door, did a great job. So that response by Gordy, by our young defenseman, was very good. You know, we can't give those easy ones up. And as we get more maturity in our game and more experience in our game, hopefully we correct that very quickly.
Yeah, there's another area. I know you work on it all the time, and all the time being last week and so far today, because that's how much practice time you've had. But power play is always a concern, too. 1-for-3 and 0-for-4 in the two games on the weekend. I think one power play goal in about 20-some chances, 21 or 22 chances thus far this season in four games. It's an area that you do work pretty hard on. I thought you moved the puck a lot better this past weekend than we did against Tech.
Yeah, again, some steps there for sure. I mean, there should be a second. We scored one of the goals against Michigan Tech was as they stepped back on the ice. So technically a power play goal doesn't show in the stats. So a little bit better when you look at that. But, you know, again, offensively challenge is carried over to our power play right now. We did possess it and have some good some better movement, but again, we got to threaten the net more. We've got to do a little bit better job of getting shots through and to the net. We did take a step with our retrievals. We talk a lot about retrievals. The way a lot of teams kill these days is so aggressive, so pressure. So it's the retrieval off a face-off, it's the retrieval off a shot that becomes so important in release play. So we did a much better job retrieving pucks and maintaining possession. Now we've got to threaten a little bit more and be more dangerous after that.
Yeah, and everything's still new here, too. We're dealing with a new coaching staff, a lot of freshmen in the lineup trying to learn to play at this level. The veterans aren't really sure what the coaches want. You're probably telling them constantly, but they played under a different system in the past, so it takes a while. Are you continuing to experiment and practice at this point with different line combinations, or are you pretty much doing things the same way every day, hoping that the continuity will be the savior?
Yeah, no, we did. I think every line had at least one minor change. Some of our centers and one wing combination were together today, but I think everything was changed beyond one D pairing, maybe two D pairings. So there's a lot of tinkering. We're still trying to get to know our team. You know, a lot of it, you talk about special teams. When you throw a power play unit out there, it's tough if you have guys on three different lines. You know, who do you come back with after that? Or even when you're playing four forward. So part of it is dictated a little bit by how you want your special teams to be set up. And so there's a lot of learning curve, too. We still got to figure out who's strong in the power play in certain areas and who can play together, who's got some chemistry. We found little pieces of that, and now we got to find that third person on the line or that fourth person on the power play to add a little more continuity.
Okay, we want to remind everybody who's here with us tonight, we've got a pretty good crowd at the Antlers again. We've got the question pad going around. If you've got a question for Coach Witten or for Rich Mitro, who's going to join us in the second half of the show tonight, please write it down. We'll get it up here and ask that question. Damon, you got a couple of different guys in the lineup on Saturday night. You took out a couple guys who had played on Friday, and you put in Austin McKay, gave him a chance to play, and Zach Lesh, who had sat Friday, who's played every other game, got back in on Saturday night. So, you know, it's not like we took guys on a road trip and they just sat and watched.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's competitive in practice. We've got guys who are certainly pushing it, trying to get in. You know, Dan Bernays didn't make the trip. He had a goal our first weekend, and, you know, he's a guy pushing. He'll get back in there. You know, you mentioned Austin McKay went in. I thought Austin did a great job. We've asked those guys to be ready when they get their opportunity to take advantage of it. I thought he went and did that. He provided a good physical presence. He was strong on pucks. Got pucks outside of our defensive blue line as well. So very happy with Austin's play, and I think he's earned himself another opportunity from that. You know, Zach has played a lot of hockey, and we're asking him to tighten up some areas, Zach Lesh. But he went in, and he was better than he was the opening weekend, so he's kind of taking steps and getting the right direction. But, you know, it's a competitive spot, so we'll continue to have some different changes. And Nathan Harris didn't make the trip either on D. I thought he had his best practice of the year today. So Carey's sitting there pushing, waiting for his opportunity so he can take advantage as well.
Yeah, and you had I thought Angus played pretty well for you on Friday night. There may have been something he did you spotted on film or something that you didn't like, but he was flying around pretty good, especially in the third period of that game, playing in front of his family there in Pittsburgh. And Bird, did he come out for injury reason, or did you take him out just to let him take a look at what's going on?
Yeah, you know, Jason's had a lot thrown at him. We've asked him to run one of our power play units as a true freshman, you know, playing that Michigan Tech team with that just pressures. So there's been a lot thrown at Jason. He's done a lot of really good things for us. He's going to play a lot of hockey for us. You know, he's got his first collegiate goal out of the way already. But, we thought he could come out, watch the game from up top, and hopefully learn some things that way from it. And, you know, again, it's about being great defensively. So he'll provide offense, he'll provide a shot and some puck movement, but we've got to be very good defensively, so we want him to tighten up a couple areas in that aspect.
Now, you did practice today. You'll also do a full-time practice tomorrow and Wednesday. Get ready to go to Notre Dame on Thursday, I would think.
Correct, yep. We have an early bus out to Notre Dame for, I believe, a 6 o'clock ice session down there Thursday at Compton Ice Arena as we prepare to take on the Irish.
Yeah, and they'll be – they'll be tough. They're always tough on their home ice, but they're not off to the greatest of starts. They lost the exhibition game to Waterloo, blew a 3-1 lead in the third, got beat 5-4, and then they lost this past weekend in their own tournament. RPI beat them 3-2, and Minnesota Duluth shut them out on Sunday 3-0. So they're kind of looking. I think Jeff's probably got young people there that he's waiting to see what's going on, too, and probably not – unhappy, but not real pleased with an 0-3 start.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure we'll get an angry team. I mean, they've had some expectations. We mentioned they mirror us a little bit. They've got inexperience in net. They do have a sophomore who got some minutes last year in Cadenier. So they're a little bit inexperienced there as well, and they got a couple freshman defensemen as well. But they also have some big-time talents in some of their high-drafted kids, Hinostroza, Lucia. So they've got some talents. They've got some difference makers, and you know, they're always a well-coached and disciplined team. And we took a team in there last year when I was at that other school, and the reffing wasn't very kind to us. So I'm not expecting to go in and get Hockey East reffing and get a lot of calls, just like this weekend, you know. And I thought Saturday the frustration showed. We took a couple penalties. You know, you noticed, Bill, on the air, you mentioned our forward lines got scrambled. We sat down one of our forwards and took a selfish penalty. So we've got to be disciplined. Our margin of error is not big enough where we can take selfish penalties.
Yeah, it was a tough night there on Saturday from that standpoint. We're going to take a break here in our show tonight. I want to remind everybody we are podcasting the show now, so you can listen to this program by clicking on our websites later in the week if you want to do that. Great Lakes State Weekend coming up. We'll be talking about that in the second portion of our program tonight, and we have a couple of questions from our audience, so we'll get into that with Damon in just a second. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Hockey Show continues with your host, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All righty, we are back at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Great sponsor for this program. We've got a good crowd on hand from our Blue Line Club and others who are here tonight as well. Damon Witten is with us for the second portion of the program tonight. And we've got a couple questions from the crowd here tonight. And one of them's one that I have down anyway to ask here, but let's get into it right now. What can the coaching staff do to help out the goalies at this point, and the team for that matter, by bringing down the shots per game that the opposition gets? I think we're averaging 24 shots a game right now and giving up 39. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, and that's, to me, a big point of emphasis. You know, I'm a believer in shot differential. If you look at some, you know, some of the new analytics and some of the studies going on, you're looking at past Stanley Cup champions and top teams in the NHL. They did win the shot battle, the shot difference. So to me, it's a major area of concern. A lot of that is our puck management. We've got to be stronger on pucks, be good at our defensive blue line, be good at our offensive blue line. So our puck management really has to improve in that area. And then a little piece of that is our defensive philosophy. Probably could use some video and getting a little bit into it, but we're okay if we give up shots from poor angles. You know, we spend a lot of our time defending. We don't want to allow the puck to switch sides of the ice, which makes it, if you look at percentages and, you know, for goaltender save percentage, anytime the puck switches sides of the ice, it becomes a much more lower percentage save for our goaltenders. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to push pucks to the outside. We'll allow some outside shots. So sometimes it's a little inflated. The way we defend, we try to contain it to one side. And so sometimes we will give up some shots that are less dangerous. You know, even penalty kill wise, we're not always worried about being in shot lanes. Depending on the angle, if they're outside the dots, we expect our goaltenders to make those saves. So it can be a little inflated, but for me, it's a big indicator. We want to be on the other side of that, and a big part is going to be with switch that with our puck management.
Another question I get asked a lot, and you know, we're four games into the season, and Dayfield's played every game. He started every game. Aldridge came into the third period of the second game with Tech. People want to know, when's Kevin Aldridge going to get to play? When can we see Magariotis? Are we going to try them? You know, I think I know where you're going with that, but there's the question.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it is an open competition. You know, part of, you know, obviously we have the benefit of evaluating every day, and we have a full-time goaltender coach on our staff who spent a lot of time with these guys and has great insight. You know, we put a lot of stock into what we asked our guys to do this summer as well. Everybody knew it was an open competition. It was a clean slate. So when we did our testing, when we did our strength conditioning, our cardio testing, our numbers were very obvious of who had the best summer to put themselves in a great position. And obviously that's Gordy because he's gotten a start. So we were a little not pleased with the way some of our kids came back into shape. Our goaltenders are in that group, and that's been part of it. But certainly it's an ongoing competition. We do want to get guys looks. At the same time, the Michigan Tech was a little bit unique because you had WCHA points on the line right away. And we wanted to try to take care of home ice in the WCHA this weekend. You know, typically you would look to maybe rotate some goaltenders. And Saturday we were looking for an opportunity to potentially make a switch and get Kevin half a game. He traveled with us, but just the way the game went, it didn't dictate a goaltender switch at any point.
Okay, the other question we've got from the fans here tonight is, why can't I go on the LSSU website and click on the broadcast of the game? I didn't know that was a problem, but that is a problem if it's happening, and we'll have to work with Lake Superior State University and with the people there, with Mike Furr and the crew, because that's their baby to make sure that that works properly. You can go to Radio Sioux's website or to Sovereign Communications and get the game on the web. It's no problem, and I didn't know that that was a problem. That's my first exposure to that problem, so, and that's pretty serious, so we'll want to work with Linda and with Chris and try to get that taken care of if it is a problem. I don't know. It could be somebody's computer, too. But that should not be a problem. You should be able to click on there and pick up the broadcast right away, just as you can get the podcast of this show starting this week. We're going to take care of that, too. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now. It's early in the season for us, too, so there can be some mistakes technically that we really haven't thought of. You know, one thing I noticed, too, we're talking about teaching and about trying to coach kids, and that's what coaching is. It's teaching. I really have to compliment you and Pete this past weekend. I've never seen coaches work before a game, sitting with a couple of players who aren't dressing with a laptop, and it was obviously a good opportunity for you to do some teaching, and that's what you were doing, I would assume.
Well, if somebody wants to get rich in this room, invent something for coaches for the hour and a half before the game, because beyond, you know, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, it's complete dead time, and we need a great invention for coaches across all sports. So, yeah, certainly, you know, one of those guys we mentioned was Jason Bird, was out of the lineup. He's a freshman. You know, we had some dead time to grab him and watch the clips back with them and show them some of the expectations we have, and Jason Angus as well. You know, these kids all want feedback. They want to know why they're coming out of the lineup or what they can do to improve. So yeah, I thought it was a good time to grab them, and you know, we're sitting there waiting for the puck to drop and trying to wish time away, but it's a good chance to teach.
Yeah, it is interesting how different coaches handle that too. Frank Anzalone used to be a stand-up comic for about half an hour right before the game. That was when he was at his absolute funniest was at that point. Jim Rock used to say, just drop the puck, let's play the game, you know. But it's different for every coach. I thought it was interesting after the game on Saturday night, Derek Schooley, the coach from RMU, was up there, and he came over to talk to me for a few minutes about, you guys are off to a tough start, but he says, take heart, because last year we were 2-12-2 at Christmas, and I was looking for bridges here in Pittsburgh to jump off of. But we wound up, he said, in the NCAA tournament. It came on in the second half. That can happen that fast when you got young guys. It turns around. He said, tell Damon, keep the chin up. It'll work. So
yeah, and that, like, hopefully that's the growth we're looking for, you know, with our goaltending situation, those guys getting experience, you know, playing five freshman defensemen. There's going to be great growth, and there's going to be great reward. And I don't know if it's next weekend or a month from now or a year from now. You know, we can't tell you that part of it, but there will be real good growth and real good development because of that youth. And, you know, we were hoping at this point our veteran forward group, our returning forwards, where we had some some upperclassmen before we lost Chris maybe, but we were hoping they could kind of carry the water for us. We wouldn't be having these offensive struggles. It'd give our goaltending and D some time to get their feet underneath them, but that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, and we should mention that too. Chris Ciotti did not play this past weekend. He's not going to play this coming weekend, nor is he probably going to play against Northern Michigan. He'll be out for a while yet. That's tough when you're a senior, and I know Chris is a competitor. He wants to play, but he's hurt and he can't play.
Well, probably the toughest. I mean, the seniors, everybody wants to get off to a good start. You know, they want to be in the lineup. They want to play. They want to have success early on, especially that senior year. You know, they all have pro ambitions and they feel like it's a showcase year, which part of it is. So very difficult for Chris, and he's handled it very well. And just like other guys not playing, we've asked him, you know, to be a student of the game, you know, at our games, watch him, watch our best players, watch the other team's best players, learn, grow, and then, you know, really ratchet up his conditioning level as well. When he gets back, we want to be able to insert him right back in the lineup and play big minutes for us.
Yeah, Chris is almost like, being a senior, he's got a lot of input. He's almost like another coach. During practice, he's got a lot of stuff to say, especially to the older guys, the guys he knows well enough to be comfortable with, but he points out things during practice too, so it's like having an extra guy coaching too.
Yeah.
You know, your approach has been very media-friendly so far this year. I've really enjoyed you coming up post-game and talking to fans. I mean, we've had four losses. It's tough to talk after you lose, but you've been doing it. We've got another new thing that we're going to start that you wanted to do, and that's we're going to put a headset down on the bench, and we're going to actually, when we play Northern Michigan in every home game after that, the rest of this season and into the future, we're going to have one of our assistant coaches or maybe even a player join us on air. That'll be interesting for our listening audience.
Yeah, well, I think definitely. I mean, I think, you know, as fans, we always want to know what's going on and the thoughts on the bench or, you know, in the crazy coach's head as well. So, and I think for those guys, it's a great experience to get on in the heat of the moment and, you know, handle that. So, no, I think it's good. I mean, you'll get feedback instantly about how that period went or what just happened. And so I think it's good. And, you know, we want to have an open access. You know, if you haven't been to our website lately too, we're doing some video interviews, trying to do some a little bit of coverage before Notre Dame. And then after the week, we'll wrap it up with some coaches, some players, and different perspectives. So we're really trying to get out there. And part of that, you know, is recruiting wise. Kids are all on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and that. So it's a big part to make sure we're putting ourselves out there and the recruits, our fans, have access to what goes on in the daily basis of our program.
You know, I find it interesting, too. You look at websites now. If you go to the Notre Dame website right now or Boston College or any of the big-name schools playing this game at the D1 level, they've got stuff on there that used to be illegal by NCAA rules. And I haven't been AD for 7-8 years, but it used to be you couldn't name who these young kids are who you've got lined up for somewhere down the line. They got lists of these kids on there now with where they're playing, how old they are, what year they were born, when they're coming to Notre Dame or BC or whatever. So obviously some rules have changed here because they're naming names and putting where they are and everything else.
Well, it shouldn't be the schools. I'm not sure. That hasn't changed where you can't, unless they've signed a national letter of intent. And now when teams have 23 guys committed, they might have 8 or 9 already signed, so maybe they do. But there's certainly some blogs for those of you interested in recruiting. There's College Hockey Inc. does a good job. They've got every recruit in the country named with their schools. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to look at some of those. I know I came, you know, from a school that had, I think, 23 committed kids, anywhere from 94s to 98s, 99s now, birth years. It's a crazy world, and that's a big pitch for us right now in our recruiting is, you know, we don't have a list of 20 kids or 25 kids. You know, we might get up to 15, 18 here before too long, and that's fine. There's good balance there, but for us, there's an opportunity to sell to recruits out there right now.
Yeah, I found it interesting on Notre Dame's website. I was looking at it just this afternoon. Pat O'Neill and I were taking a look at it, and Robert Nardella from Melrose Park, Illinois, is a recruit for Notre Dame for 2 years from now. He's 5'7", 140 pounds. That's Mike Nardella's son. I know Mike Nardella. A lot of us do in this room. We played in the late 1960s, early 70s here at Lake Superior State. So that's small world hockey.
Yeah, no question. He's got one or two other ones out there floating up, coming up the ranks as well.
Yeah, it's always interesting to take a look at recruiting, and there's some pretty good young players on this Notre Dame team, too. They've got 8 NHL draft picks in their lineup this weekend coming up. And they got some kids who played for the development team, and a couple of them that I went with to Finland last spring that won the world championship at the under-18 level, and there's some pretty good talent there.
Yeah, they don't lack for talent. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. I mean, you go across the country, their top end, their high end players are as good as anybody out there. You know, I mentioned Hinostroza, Lucia already.
Yeah,
they've got talent. They've got difference makers, and again, that's why we've got to be so good shift in, shift out for 60 minutes. Our details have to be so good because those guys can take advantage when you're off a step or you're read late.
A little bit of difference for the kids, too, for the freshmen in particular, to go to Compton Family Center after being at RMU with the rink there. It's a totally different world there. We describe the rink at the RMU as being a little bit like the NHL rink at Big Bear Arena. It's pretty much like that. We're going to go into about as good as it gets at Compton Family Center.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, there's sometimes, you know, it creeps into your kids. And I think Jason Angus was the only guy on our team who had been to Robert Morris's rink. But we wanted to address it. We didn't want kids walking in, looking around, saying, you know, what's going on here? And same thing, we'll talk about the environment down there. You know, they'll have the band going, and it's a great college environment. So our kids will be excited to play, you know, and I think we'll be ready to rise to the challenge and, you know, be right in there and give ourselves a chance, and hopefully we can take a step in
the area. You've got a lot of veterans on this team who've played there before. They know what to expect, so they'll kind of acclimate the young guys, and it's always fun to play at Notre Dame.
Yeah, our guys will be excited. I mean, no question about it. It's a obviously a well-known school, a great environment, and it'll be a great hockey game.
Okay, we're going to take a break here in the show. Damon, thanks for the first half. Rich Mitro is going to join us in the second half of the show. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
To the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, back for our third segment of the Laker Hockey Show here on a Monday night at the Antlers, and we always enjoy being here. Chris Sable, Kathy Sable, great hosts for this show, and Rich Mitro joining us now. And Rich, you weren't around in Pittsburgh, you were off recruiting, so I guess the obvious first question for you would be, how was that recruiting trip? Where'd you go, and did you find anybody to bring in next year?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's you know, it's about that time of year where you got to pound the pavement. And I went out to Ottawa there. I left Thursday morning around 6:30 in the morning and went all the way to Smith Falls and watched the practice for a little bit. And then from there, I went and watched Kanata play against, who was it? Nepean.
Yeah.
So yeah. I watched that game for a little bit there. And then it was good, real good. And then I made my way to Toronto for a couple of days and down to watch the showcase of the Junior B showcase in the Greater Ontario Junior Hockey League, and then back to Toronto again, and then finished up the trip in Orangeville yesterday, and then came home about midnight last night. So I think I put about 30 hours in the car.
The life of the recruiter, that's it. But I'll tell you, recruiting's been pretty good so far this year. I've been pretty impressed. You guys have got a number of commitments, maybe not next year, but you've actually working on futures, getting kids who will come in here in 2016 at this point, and it's been working really well. Almost every kid who's been here is committed.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously it's been very nice when you can, you know, we got a great facility. If we can get kids up here and they can see it, and obviously meeting Coach Witten and Coach Aubrey there and myself, and, you know, just try to show them what we're all about, and it seems like it's been working. And you know, like I said, we have a great facility here, and there's no reason why kids wouldn't want to play here. It's just a matter of getting them up and seeing it, and it's not always the easiest sell.
Well, it's tough to get them to want to come so far north or so far east or west or whatever, because we're kind of off the beaten path here in a lot of ways. But tremendous opportunity for a young kid who can play to actually play at the D1 level, too. I mean, we play a pretty good schedule, and it's hockey.
Well, for sure. It's funny because I was just in Oakville over the weekend a couple nights, and, you know, obviously we've done pretty well in Oakville with Kellen Lane and Dominic Bernardo and who's the other one out of there? Well, we had Nick McParland also out of there.
Well, we had Kapalka out of that area.
Yeah, that whole Toronto swing there, Kapalka, Colin Campbell, and Kevin Churchman, and it's amazing. And, you know, it's, you know, Toronto's not that close, but it's really not that far either. And those people down there and all know of Lake Superior State University. It's unbelievable. And the coaches, and then I talked to some parents and some players as well. And I mean, it's just word has spread down there pretty much about Lake State, because all those guys are back there living and training in the summers.
Yeah.
You know, the kid I was talking to on Saturday, he trains with Kellen Lane and Dominic Bernardo in the summers in the same training facility and everything. And so, I mean, those guys are, you know, obviously when you play in the NHL, you get a little notoriety, and Kellen Lane has a lot right now. So
yeah, Kellen Lane is in Vancouver, too, to start this season with the big club. I think Churchman's down right now in Bridgeport, the New York Islanders farm team in the American Hockey League. But, you know, Thursday night, I mentioned this on the air on Friday. Thursday night, we talked, Paul Prouche and I talked to the former great Laker hockey player Dominic Bernardo, who just had gone up to play in Springfield, the Springfield Falcons in the American Hockey League. He was so excited. But he scored 27 goals last year in the East Coast Hockey League. He should be in the A.
Well, I mean, there's a prime example of a kid that just, I mean, he just doesn't stop. He just works and works and works. And I think that was the one thing, you know, once he got the chance to come to Lake Superior State, he was basically a recruited walk-on. I think we paid for his books and, you know, he broke his neck the year before and kind of everyone gave up on him. And I mean, I'll tell you what, he's, you know, I'm not going to predict the future, but he's going to be a hard guy to keep out of the NHL, I think, if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I remember last year a few times Jim Rock mentioning that there were NHL teams asking about him. They're looking for a goal scorer, and he was scoring up a storm in the East Coast League. So, you know, great news there, and good for him. He's a great guy, and he's a really, as you say, he's a really hard worker. Now, one of the things that you deal with mostly with this team, if we were to break down the coaching, we'd have you know, Damon kind of overseeing everything and Pete looking at defensive end of things and goaltending in particular. Offense kind of goes to you a little bit more than the others. You get some very good potential here with offense, and it's going to take us a while to figure it all out, who belongs with whom, et cetera. But I've been pretty impressed with some of these young guys. I really like Scott Patterson. I think he's going to be a really good player. Globke's worked awfully hard. He was very good at Pittsburgh. He just couldn't finish, but we got some promise here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always a work in progress. I mean, the power play never, I mean, or whatever kind of system you're trying to play or run or whatever, never always pitch a perfect right off the bit. But it's, you know, one of those things where, you know, once we know the players and they kind of know us and what we're kind of expecting or whatever, it should kind of fall in line a little bit. I mean, I talked to, you know, Andrew Domet today about we made some changes on the power play and, you know, he ended up scoring a power play goal this weekend because of it. And, you know, I think, you know, once they kind of get accustomed to playing with each other and, you know, a little more chemistry, I think things should come out a little bit better. I mean, I think just right now, I think guys are a little bit gripping the stick and, you know, I don't know if they're just, everything's just new. I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of time together. I mean, it's just the way it goes. And, you know, it's a, you know, don't want to say it's a rebuilding year, but I mean, at the same time, we're trying to, you know, build for the future. So it's not like we've spent a lot of time on the ice with these guys either.
Yeah, it's been a tough start for some guys who are veteran players. I know on the weekend at Pittsburgh, Steven Perfetto had two or three really good scoring chances. Just either the goalie got a toe on it, a shot he tried to pick a corner, or he missed the net with it from right down around the goal mouth. He made some really good entry plays. They were a lot better than they were against Tech. You know, with time, you can't help but think 2-3 weeks of practice, we're going to start doing some things very, very well here.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, everything we're trying to incorporate right now is always going to take time. I mean, it's totally different than they're used to. It's, you're taking 26 guys and you're throwing, you know, a whole brand new style of hockey at them, basically. And, you know, you only get a few hours a week to build on it. And I think it's always going to, you're going to have some growing pains, but that's normal. And the guys, you know, they're receptive and they're working hard and some are grasping, some aren't right away. And, you know, but sooner than later, we're going to, you know, get them all on the same page and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And today you worked on various things in practice. Tomorrow, next day will be maybe some different things, but I've liked the enthusiasm. I think you and Pete and Damon seem to really work well together. There's a lot of talking, a lot of sharing of the coaching end of it. You're all up at the board at various times and I would imagine you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you never know what you're, you know, getting into at any situation. But, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, you come in, you're kind of feeling your way around. And, you know, right now it's been great. I mean, you know, Damon's kind of let, you know, me and Pete do a lot of stuff, which is, you know, unbelievable at this point. And, you know, as a staff, it seems like we have a lot of, you know, chemistry and guys are, you know, pulling their own weight and kind of similar ideas, which is great. You know, the enthusiasm is really good. And, you know, Pete Aubrey brings a lot to the table as well. He's very excitable. And I think the whole mix is good.
Yeah, he does a lot of talking and he works real well with the goaltenders. He's out there spending extra time with them. That's one thing that the last couple of years when we lost Don Muyo, who had been our goaltending coach there, and Terry Barbo couldn't do it for a variety of reasons anymore, couldn't come over. But, that, you know, I can't help but think that Kevin Kapalka and Kevin Murdoch and Nils-Erik Raven kind of paid a price for that the last couple of years. They really didn't have anybody who was working directly with them every day like Pete is right now with these guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. You take any good hockey team, and I'll tell you what, they have a good goaltender. And, I mean, at any level, I mean, it's a huge piece of the puzzle. And, you know, I think right now, I mean, I think Pete's done a great job with Gordy and Kevin and Pete on the, and I think it's just one of those things that, you know, when you get that, especially it's nothing I can tell them, You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's just goaltending's a special, a totally different animal, and they have to be handled in a different situation. And I think goaltenders speak the same language, obviously. And
yeah.
I think you get the most out of them if you know how to work with them.
Well, yeah, and one thing I when Don was here, he was always building confidence with them and having little conversations, and I really think that's important. But we just weren't able to do it the last year and a half or even 2 years. You know, everybody's always out on the recruiting trail trying to find that sniper that everybody else missed. Those guys are pretty tough to find. I know. I think sometimes we could really use a Sean Tallaire in our lineup right now, or you know, or a Dominic Minardo, somebody you can count on to go out there and get you a goal when you need it. Those are really tough to find.
You know, it's
so. How's that into things going? Yeah,
it's going. I'll tell you, we're working on it. But it's what you know. But you never know. I mean, there's been guys that we've brought in here that, you know, you've recruited, you know, to be a more of a defensive, you know, especially like even like Zach Trotman. He was totally supposed to be a defensive defenseman, and you know, he put up some pretty decent numbers on the power play as a D-man. And then, you know, Dominic Minardo was, like I said, he was a complete late addition and turned out to be the first 20-goal scorer in the last 20 years. I mean, it's just how they grow and how they develop. And I think a lot of the emphasis is on them, how much they want it, you know, and what they do in the off season, and when they come back, are they ready to go? And, you know, you can show them the way sometimes, but, you know, it's, you know, how bad do they want it in the off season? And that's what Kellen Lane and a few of those guys did, and that's why they are where they are now, because they paid the price in the offseason.
Yeah. Now, you've been in France for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Over there for 3 years as a head coach.
Yeah.
I know when you're coaching that elite league in France, it's kind of you're kind of on your own for the coaching end of it. You got a little bit of help, but not a whole lot because it's not set up that way. But you had to learn a lot. When you're the head coach and you're making the decisions, you're dealing with those personalities every day. That's a real learning curve there.
Right. I mean, it's funny how it goes. I mean, I didn't really have the players I had didn't have problem scoring. The problem I had was defending. and I felt bad for my goalie, Jeff Lurig, because I'll tell you what, sometimes he felt like he was on an island by himself back there, because everyone else just wanted to go and go and go. And so, no, it was good. I mean, you know, you're dealt sometimes with what you got, and you got to work within it to get the most success you can get. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I every day, you know, over there, you know, it was like you said, it was a huge learning curve, and it was unbelievable, the experience. And, you know, you go through, you know, bad times and you go through good times. And at the end of the day, it seemed like it worked itself out, you know, where we had some pretty good success after, you know, in my third year.
Yeah, you had a couple of good playoff runs in there, too. We followed what was going on there. Of course, Con kept us up to date with
all
through the season. Every time, every week, he would let us know what's going on. But and you had some pretty good players. You had a couple guys from Western Michigan who played for you over there who did a good job for you, too.
Yeah, I had a couple guys from Western, a few guys from Ferris. I had Jimmy Jorgensen from Sault Ste. Marie. He was on my team last year. And I had another a Swedish player from Anchorage, Alaska, who played for Dave Shayak up there. And obviously I had Jeff Lurig in the pipes, you know, from Michigan State. So, I mean, that was kind of my grounds of recruiting. You know, my strength was obviously North American. I knew how to, you know, get those kids, and I knew a lot of the coaches. So, you know, that was kind of my strength, where a lot of people out, you know, went more, you know, from Finland or wherever else. So.
Yeah, it's a great experience for a young guy too. If you're not going to play in the East Coast League, or you don't want, and you want to really experience something, go to Europe.
Yeah,
you did that yourself as a player, and it's a great opportunity to continue to do what you really love to do and really see a different part of the world.
Right.
I know Andrew Perreault gave it a try this year. I think he was in France. He's gotten himself hurt and he's not playing right now. But in fact, how about our buddy Danny Radke? He got hurt so badly they had to fly him home.
I feel bad because I was their agent.
Nice job.
And they both get over there. One gets a broken orbital bone and the other one breaks his back. But I mean, like I said, hockey's tough. I mean, but thank God those guys got their education so they could fall back on it. But no, I was fortunate. I had a great, I had a great president over there with Villard Delance, and he's here right now in the stands. They just got in. My father-in-law just got here on Saturday night. So he was an easy man to work for. He just handed me the team and said, go to work.
Yeah. And he's no stranger to Laker hockey.
No,
he's been here before.
No, yeah.
Well, that's good. Rich, I thank you for sitting in here with us tonight. We'll get you on many times throughout the season. Good luck this week getting ready for Notre Dame. You going to make this trip? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, right now, I mean, we're trying to do it, you know, get out there as much as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be there. It was, you know, it was a necessary trip for us to go on last weekend, or for myself to go on. And I think, you know, the kid we're going to get out of it's going to be huge. So
yeah, that's the name of the game right now, working on the future here. And the rest of us will kind of work on the present. But we need players. And hey, that's all part of the game. Rich, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Rich Mitro joining us here tonight. We'll be right back for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400.
Now let's go back to the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Alrighty, we're all set for the final segment of yet another Laker Hockey Show here from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford rejoined by Damon Whitnow, the head coach of the Lakers. And want to make mention of a couple of things here. We did hit on earlier in the show that some folks are maybe having some trouble connecting to our broadcasts using the internet, the LSSU website. They're having trouble with it. Just go to yesfm.net. You get it right away, and it's always there. And we have a full-time engineer who works on that all the time. We want to, I guess we should recognize the fact today, too, of all things. I meant to do this early in the show, but it is Canadian Thanksgiving today. A lot of our Canadian friends are celebrating that. We do have a lot of Canadian hockey players here at Lake Superior State, so a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And it's Columbus Day as well, so Bob Fabricino is taking the day off today too. And we should make mention of that. No mail service today. Federal government, you know, get a half a chance for a day off and they jump right on it. But Damon, let's get back into it here. What do we know about the Fighting Irish? We kind of hit them a little bit. They've got a lot more veterans than we do. They've got NHL draft picks in their lineup. They got rookie goaltenders like we do. But it'll be a good series against them. And we should say, too, both games are on TV on NBC Sports. It'll be Friday night at 7:30 start and 6:05 on Saturday, and they are both televised. So that's great exposure.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. And I want to back up just one sec, too, Bill. Apologize here. But, you know, Rich has done a great job. And I want to recognize that. And I think a lot of people here know Rich, but you can see why when he sits down with a recruit or sits down with a recruit's family, the energy, the passion, you know, everything. You can see why he's a great recruiter, and they've done a great job. We've talked a lot about the kids that we've had on campus have committed, the facilities, the fans, Sault Ste. Marie, and again, those assistant coaches. So they've done a great job. And for those of you who have come up to our offices, there's a few of you sitting here tonight have been up in the offices, Bill included. We have a four-month calendar on our wall mapping out our recruiting schedule for the next 4 months. And then Rich kind of mentioned, well, I think I'll be in Notre Dame. And that's the life a little bit. You know, that we might get a call tomorrow that a kid that we're on, all of a sudden he's got an offer from another school and we need to get one last look at him. Or, hey, this kid wants to come to Lake State, and but this other school's offering and we want to go see him before he does that. For ties, whatever. So it's, you know, you never know what's going to happen and the way things are accelerated. So they never quite know. We never quite know. We do try to map it out as best we can. And typically for home games, we try to have both guys here at home, chance to be with family and, you know, enjoy the good stuff of it as well. And then typically on the road, one guy will be recruiting, one guy will be with the team. And then sometimes it just doesn't match up that way. So anyway, they've done a great job. I appreciate that. On to Notre Dame. Yeah. I mean, obviously, everybody knows Jeff Jackson and how well coached a Jeff Jackson-led team is. So we'll have our hands full. They play a very pro-style, disciplined, support-structured game, which we have to be prepared to handle. And, you know, we mentioned a couple times, they're high-end talent, some of those draft picks you talked about. If we're a step late, if we're a read behind, they can make you pay. So that's why it's so critical that we're good with our structure. We're good with our spacing, our communication, so we don't let those high-end impact guys have a chance to hurt us in those situations.
Yeah, I know Jeff is he's very big on defensive coaching. He always has been, but particularly when he's got young goaltending where he thinks that goalie needs help, he's going to pack it in back in his own zone this weekend, especially Friday night to see what Lake Superior State's got. But they have that kind of talent that can counterattack, and they can skate. So.
Yeah, we'll see a good skating team. You know, I think it's their team this weekend will be the first time this year we've seen a team who's more of a man-on-man in the defense, in their defensive zone coverage. So I'm hoping we'll have a little bit more puck possession. We'll be able to protect it. The last 2 weeks we've seen teams that played D a little bit like us. They surround and they outnumber. So it really limits the time you have with the puck. On first touch, we've tried to cycle it, switch sides. I think it's a little bit new for our guys. this weekend, Al Globke and Johnson and these big body, these strong kids should be able to possess the puck a little bit more, make them defend, and hopefully you can find a breakdown and get pucks to the net a little bit better.
Well, what sorts of things did you work on today? What are you looking at Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready to get on that bus on Thursday morning?
Yeah, well, one thing we didn't do today is special teams, just because coming off the bus, and it was a little bit more of a physical, competitive day. So we really got to hit special teams over the next couple of days. You know, we're going to tweak some power play stuff. We've tried to kind of have two balanced units, and we're probably going to have to go to maybe load more one unit up. And we did a little bit of that this weekend. I got the one goal Friday night. But we really got to hit on special teams, both sides of that power play penalty kill. Today was a day all about competing. You know, we read a page long little story about defending and the character it takes, the determination, the commitment it takes to be great defensively. You know, some days the offense isn't there, the skill, the fun, the beauty of the game, sometimes it's just not there. But every day you can show up and compete and defend and battle. And, you know, it's an area we got to get better on. So today we did a lot of one-on-one work. Working at a defenseman's gap, forwards puck protection, forwards putting pucks behind defense heels to retrieve them. So it was really just a competitive day to try to set a tone. We thought it was kind of just an okay day, and then we finished with some agility skating and a conditioning skate, and the guys really dug in and finished really strong. So we're pleased with the way the day ended for sure.
Yeah, that sounds good at coming off a couple losses and a long road trip, and It wasn't as long as some of the trips are going to be this year. It was kind of a good primer for the rest of what's going to happen here, because Pittsburgh's 10 hours roughly, and it's not a bad trip, and you had the sleeper bus, and things worked really well for you. I know that it was a good comfort level, and the weather was great, so that was a good first trip. And it brings your freshmen into the fold.
Yeah, no, they've got a good feel for our structure. This week will be very similar in the way we practice. I guess we left Wednesday night instead of Thursday morning, but same thing. We'll get a skate on their ice on Thursday. Our guys have a pretty good feel of our routine. Saturday is a little different because of their rink, and it's a little bit more of a youth association. We did not have ice Saturday morning down there. This Saturday is an earlier start, a 6 o'clock start time because of those NBC sports games. So there's some small wrinkles, and then that's fine. You know, on our bus ride over to the rink, there's construction everywhere out there. So me and Coach Aubrey were out there moving road cones and moving signs. Little adversity on the way to the rink. We're worried about our timing and controlling what we can control. So we got a good pregame sweat in our suits, moving all the construction equipment out of the way so we could try to get the guys there in time.
Yeah, that was pretty humorous because it was a little tiny lane that kind of, they had the main street closed off to do construction on it. There was a little lane there that went between some houses that picked up in behind and went across this bridge over the Ohio River. But the bus pulled in. I don't know how he fit through there. I could barely get my trailblazer through there. But the guys got out with suits on, moved all the cones, and this lady's out in her yard yelling at him, "Hey, this is private property." You know, these guys are suits. You know, they back on the bus and away they went. They went right through there. But kind of
had to take a CIA approach and tell her, "Hey, nothing to see here. Get back inside." And we got through there, and we got our guys to the game in time. So that was great.
"Get off my grass," she's yelling at him. But it was good. It all worked out. And it's not the greatest facility in the world, but it's D1, and RMU was good. I thought they played hard. They did a lot of things that tested you, and that's what you want. You want a good test so your guys know, hey, we got to play better than we did.
Yeah, you mentioned they're an NCAA team. You know, whether it was a great run late or a hot run, you know, that experience, that championship experience, you know, can't be replicated. We talked about Gordy Dayfield and Kevin Aldridge coming in off championship years. I mean, that experience is so crucial. To win a playoff series, to win a playoff Final Five or whatever that environment is, to get to the NCAA tournament, that's critical things, and that's where we want to be. So to see their hunger, to see their passion, you know, some of their veteran leadership, you know, wide away, I think 54 points last year, a great year. Mm-hmm. So, give them credit. They did a good job, and they've got a very good team over there. So it was good for us to get that exposure. You know, that NCAA tournament, that's our goal. That's where we want to be. So you got to beat teams like that, and we've got to take some steps to do that.
Okay, well, we're going to give it a try at Notre Dame this weekend. Both games, as we say, on TV, but we'll have the play-by-play on the SFM as well. So you got your choice this weekend. We'll be down there for those games. Then we come home in a week. It'll be Great Lakes State weekend. Next Monday we'll be talking about that. That's always exciting, too. And it's like homecoming, and it'll be fun as well. We're into the season now. Damon, I thank you for joining us here tonight. Rich Mitro, all the fans who are here, Carl Mason, who's engineering for us here, Jim DeSano back at the station. Bill Crawford, so long till next Monday night on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.